Good day, everyone, and welcome to episode number 51 of This Week in Testing. My name is Simon Tomes, and I'm the community lead here at Ministry of Testing, and I'm your host for today. So let's get started. First up, thanks so much for those who are listening live right now, and also to those who are coming back to the recording. Very excited to host today, 12th of July. It's been a busy week, no doubt, for everyone. So what we're going to do, for those who are unfamiliar, going to spend a little bit of time looking back on the week in testing. I'll call out some things that we've been observing here at Ministry of Testing, do some shout outs and celebrate a number of the community members. There's some good stuff been happening this week. And then there'll be an opportunity to come up on stage and just let us know what you've been up to, really. Keep it nice and simple. Perhaps you could share something that you've been up to this week. Maybe you want to celebrate a win, something good that's happened with you and your team. Maybe you got a really important release out and you want to talk about it. I always love it when new stuff goes live and we kind of do a debrief on how those releases went. But yeah, we get to that in about 15 minutes or so. And just as a reminder, this is a Ministry of Testing event. So if you do pop up on stage, please be mindful of our code of conduct, which you can find on ministryoftesting.com. If you look into the footer, you'll see a link to the code of conduct there. But let's get started. So what has been happening this week? Well, there's been lots of opportunities actually for folks to contribute to the community. So I'm going to talk about a few of those things. So what have we got here? Yeah, we spotted the Mirza Sizik, who's been a bit of a prolific contributor to Ministry of Testing. We spotted on his LinkedIn profile that he's put himself down as a technical writer for Ministry of Testing. He's been doing that for a couple of years now. So yeah, really cool to see that Mirza, who also hosts a meetup, does many, many things with Ministry of Testing, is celebrating his contribution to the community, and rightly so. So thanks for sharing that, Mirza. It's very cool. We also recently put out a video for meeting our hosts for our Test Bash conference in September. So we have got four wonderful hosts: Gwen Diagram, AJ Wilson, Lee Rathbone, and Viola Verhagen. So if you have a look, I think we put it out a few days ago on the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn page. Do check out that video. You'll get to meet the hosts of Test Bash. Again, these people are contributors. And they do so much for the community. Indeed, AJ does so much that she's now part of Team Ministry of Testing, which is wonderful news for those that hadn't heard that she joined the team. So each week, I will reach out to folks and encourage them to contribute. So there's many ways you can contribute at Ministry of Testing. You could put forward an idea for a short talk. We call them 404 talks. So they need to be 4 minutes and 4 seconds long, or thereabouts. Don't worry if you go over the boundary on that one. We also encourage folks to write articles. Perhaps we could send you to one of the meetups that's happening across the globe, or you could get yourself to those meetups and speak there virtually, perhaps. So do head over to ministryoftesting.com/contribute and put forward your ideas. I guarantee there is something that you have to share that is your experience from your own voice that's coming from you that folks would find valuable. So it's a great way to share your knowledge, and in that process, kind of amplify your own knowledge yourself and help a load of people in the process. So do go check out the contribution page. I actually noticed ensemble testing, if that one's not on your radar, is getting a bit more popular in the community. And I noticed that perhaps we could have more folks talking about the value of ensemble testing. So if you've got some experience with ensemble testing, we'd love to hear from you. I saw that Samir Akario is amplifying that he's speaking at Ministry of Testing Berlin this month, which is very cool. And also a couple of other meetups. So it looks like they are on a bit of a tour and all of their talks are related to AI. So do go check out Samir Akario and see what they're up to. We got a really nice message from Amy Stewart. We've put out a reminder to folks that the Ministry of Testing Scholarship Fund is available. Now, this is available for folks who aren't in a position to purchase a professional membership, or perhaps they aren't in a position to buy a ticket to our Test Bash conference. And Amy Stewart had this to share. Ministry of Testing kindly provided me with a scholarship to attend Test Bash 2023. It was a massively inspirational and valuable experience. I highly recommend applying for the scholarship if you need to, or if you need it. And what Amy's highlighting is that there's so many people who do contribute to Ministry of Testing, and we will pay them a fee. And a lot of those people, a real high majority of those people, don't take the cash. They donate their money into the scholarship fund to allow other people to participate in the community in many ways. And we now have an option on our Test Bash ticketing page that you can donate some money to the scholarship fund, which would allow someone to get better access to a ticket. And it was just lovely to get that reminder from Amy. So thanks, Amy, for sharing. Really appreciate that. A couple of jobs that we noticed. We see that ArtLogic is looking for a staff quality engineer. Right, so proper senior role there. And it looks like, yeah, if you search for ArtLogic, there's a message actually from the CTO. You can message them directly about that role. We saw that Instanda is hiring. Again, if you look for them on LinkedIn, you'll notice that they're hiring for a role. And Erin Kreese, who's a previous Test Bash contributor, she's at VML and is looking for another solid automation expert. So her words there from Erin. So yeah, if you connect with Erin, Erin Kreese, so C-R-I-S-E, over on LinkedIn, you should be able to find out more details from Erin. And all of the things that we're sharing, or I'm sharing on the call today, I will make sure I put in our weekly newsletter. So I will wrap up the things that I've shared in the newsletter, plus many more things every week. So you can get that every Monday. You just have to head to ministryoftesting.com/newsletter, add your email address, and we will send that newsletter to you each week. And if you don't want to receive the email, you can also receive it via LinkedIn. So if you follow the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn page, look for the option to subscribe to the newsletter, and we publish it there as well. So number of congratulations, or bug congrats, as we say here. Instead of big congrats, it's bug congrats, of course, to Liam Patience, who is starting a new interesting role as a quality engineer at the Lloyds Banking Group. Congratulations, Liam. We see that Adriana Sanchez Alonso starts a new position as a QA engineer at Nationale Nederlanden. Congrats there, Adria. And Sharon Bijou Cheyu Zahatu starts a new position as a software QA tester at BitBloom. Wonderful stuff. And I also want to do a big shout out to Nicola Martin, a wonderful community person who's heavily involved with the Specialist Interest Group in Software Testing based in the UK, which is connected to the British Computer Society. Nicola has set up her own independent consultancy called Nicola Martin Coaching and Consultancy. And this line from Nicola: while I'll still be working with companies to enhance their quality testing in other areas, I'll also be focusing on this business venture. So congratulations, Nicola, for making the leap into the world of consultancy and setting up your own thing. If folks are listening and they don't know Nicola Martin, please do look her up on LinkedIn and start following. She's wonderful, a brilliant community person. So yeah, do go check out Nicola. It's great news. We've also, talking about our site, we've revamped revamped the look and feel of our on-demand software testing courses page and certifications page. So again, head over to ministrytesting.com, select the Learn link at the top, and have a little dive into there. Just trying to make things a little bit easier for people to find all the many, many different ways that you can learn with the community. Talking of which, it was really cool to see Martin. Martin is currently taking the Essentials Introduction to Software Development and Testing course that we have on Ministry of Testing. And during that process, we encourage folks to document their learning. So keep a diary, you know, by yourself, whether it's, you know, physical or digital notepad. And what Martin's done, instead of doing that, Martin has published all of their learnings on the club. So the club is our forum, so club.ministryoftesting.com. And if you look for the post, Introduction to Software Development and Testing Course Activities, Martin is sharing all of his learnings, which I think is a wonderful way to do it, because you can have a read and you can interpret how they have interpreted things as well. And perhaps you might pick up some things, particularly if you are new to software testing. So yeah, really grateful for Martin for doing that. I haven't had a chance to message Martin, but I will do soon to say thanks for making it public. It's a great way to learn in public and inspire other people. Good stuff. So other stuff that's been happening in the community, Ben Doan and Lissy Hocker, they ran a test automation live session. I believe it was yesterday. I'm trying to find out how Ben and Lissy got on with it. Super curious how a live test automation session goes. I think a number of folks in the community did attend and I haven't had a chance to catch up with them. But perhaps if Ben is in the audience, he can give us a bit of a debrief a little bit later on that one. But that's very, very exciting. I really do hope the coding gods, so to speak, were kind and things worked out. Or maybe things didn't work out, and that's always a good thing as well. But nice one, Ben and Lissy. Thank you for going for it. Yeah, some other good stuff coming in. So congrats to Marija Radanov for earning a Ministry of Testing test automation certificate. Loving it. Well done there, Marija. Very cool indeed. But yeah, much more stuff to go through. But I think I'm going to stop there and let's start getting folks up on to the stage and then tell us about your week. What things have been happening in your world when it comes to testing? Have you got an important release out recently that you'd like to talk about? Perhaps you can debrief with us and kind of let it all out, the good, the bad, the ugly. You're more than welcome to do that on stage today. Or perhaps you have a challenge that you're facing at work and you need a bit of help, and maybe someone in the audience could help you today, or we could help connect you with someone who might be in a position to help. Do let us know. Now is the opportunity to do this. We've got about another 45 minutes to have a little chit chat, get a bit deeper into your world, your This Week in Testing. I would love to hear all about it. So yeah, I'm going to put myself on mute, grab a sip of tea, and then let's get some people up on stage. Well, this is wonderful, folks. I have seen that Ben Doan has put their hand up, and I cannot wait to hear about this live session. So let's get Ben up on stage.
Hello, Simon.
Ben, yes. Hello. How has your week in testing been, Ben?
Oh, my week in testing has been busy, pretty good. I've also written a bit of code this week, which has been very, nice. Very cool. And not just in the live coding session, but I also had the pleasure of implementing a very small UI feature simply to change a button to link to a different address. But
lovely. And push to production.
And and merged into main.
Okay, gotcha.
It's not
cool.
In production yet, but yeah, merged into main. Got a little bit of help. Test, but and I wrote some tests in there as well. Yeah,
wonderful.
And even better, I got review from devs in the team and changed things based on their feedback, including writing an extra test. I was like, hey, bonus point if you can give me a pointer as to an extra test I can write that I missed. And they did, and that was very cool. So I enjoyed that an awful lot, being on the other side and being like, please tell me what test I need.
I love it, Ben. That's wicked. That's very good news. And yeah, and how did the live session go? If you're okay to share, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So the live session went well. It was quite an indulgence, I think, having an hour and a half with me and Lissy, having the live on like kind of pair session. And I was very, very grateful for around 30 people who actually joined and stayed to the end, which I consider to be a huge success. And I really hope it was interesting and useful for them. We managed to definitely get some things done in the terms of the challenge. There was definitely plenty left on the table. And I think I'm very, very keen. So I think there's a lot of legs. So the really exciting thing is, I think it went well, but I think there's a lot of opportunity to improve it and build on the format in the future. So the really exciting thing is, I consider this to kind of be the first experiment in what will be a series of test automation live events.
That's awesome.
So watch this space.
Loving it.
A lot to grow.
Yeah, sounds brilliant. And we're certainly help remind folks via all the various channels available at Ministry of Testing. Yeah. Was there anything that surprised you when you were running the session, or was there anything unexpected?
So there were a few surprises. Some of them may be more like known unknowns rather than completely unknown unknowns, if that makes sense. Definitely one of the fun things is, because although we were testing an app that me and Lissy are building together, some of the stuff that I was driving, and some of the tests that we were reviewing to then go on to improve or to build on were tests Lissy had written that I hadn't really had chance to look at yet. And some of those had a few surprises in there for me. I was a bit like, oh my God, I didn't write this. Lissy, this must have been one of yours.
Love it. And what I like about that is it's kind of like, it feels like you're replicating just the real deal, right? You're at work. Sometimes you work in isolation. You're churning out stuff, and then someone else comes along and reviews your tests or looks at your tests and is like, okay, right, what does this mean? Or why did you choose to do that? Or, I see that pattern, and that's really cool because I've now learned how to approach something in a different way. Did any of that kind of reveal itself?
Yeah, so one thing I really enjoyed was we had a really good chat about it while we did it. But one thing I really realized is, so we're using for our back end for front end, so for our kind of web server that's taking the requests from the front end and relaying them to the back end, there's this pattern. So we're using a framework called Nest.js, not Next, but Nest, Nest.js. And it has this pattern where there are services, there are controllers, and there are modules. And one thing that I really picked up on from the test that Lissy had written is that she did a really good job of isolating the unit tests. So the service only tests the service and mocked the controller. The controller only checked the controller and mocked the service. The service actually wasn't the controller that it mocked, it was the HTTP request. So you had the HTTP request being mocked, and that kind of really strict, these are unit tests and they do not test any interaction with the real world. And having that really kind of clear delineation of me first going, oh, but this doesn't really do the thing, and then me going, actually what we've got here is a really nice, neat isolation of the units. And I was like, okay, this is a good pattern, but I need to get used to it because that's not the same as my regular integration test that I love so much.
Yeah. I imagine like you'd like, oh yeah, but and it's like, oh yeah, I get it now. Yeah. The way you described it. Yeah. We all have those moments. Oh, that's brilliant. Oh well, good on you, Ben and Lissy, for doing that. And and is there a recording? I mean, feel free once you get the recording available to post it as a comment and put it in the various places, and we can help promote that. And get it out to folks, because there's something to be said about watching people doing their job and having a discussion about their job is really powerful stuff.
Absolutely. So there is a recording. It will be live today at some point. I have to double check if it's live yet. It will be on YouTube. The meetup is called Test Automation Advocates, and it's sponsored by Ask UI. So it's on the Ask UI YouTube channel, so I'll find the link and get it posted around later today. And I'd really love feedback from anyone on ways that, like, if there's anything that we could improve in terms of viewer experience. So, like, I think the test session went brilliantly. I think Lissy was a fantastic person to pair with, as she always is, and that worked brilliantly on the live event. What I kind of lack a little bit of perspective on is this a fun thing to watch for an hour and a half, right? Like, how much value is it, and what can we do to build on the format, to get a more interesting viewer experience. So for me, it worked great. I loved it.
Brilliant.
But I really want to figure out how we can grow. And eventually, I think the ultimate aim is to build it into a more of a follow-along exercise, the kind of thing we can do at workshops, at test conferences, or as live events with workshops. So, like, it starts off more as a controlled thing with watching two or three people do the activity to prove the concept, to do the challenges. And eventually the idea is to encourage people to give it a go themselves and to join in, which needs a bit of refinement before we're there.
Yeah, well, early days, Ben, early days. And yeah, I think the opportunity is fantastic. I remember I was early in on a social media platform fairly recently. And as they were developing it, one of the key developers there was just experimenting with live streaming. You know, he's just sat there coding away, like vocalizing exactly what he's thinking and like, oh, I need to do this because of that. And it's just fascinating. It's fascinating to watch and kind of experience, particularly when that person or group of people were vocalizing their thought process. And I think there's power in that when it comes to, say, exploratory testing, where we're thinking out loud what it is, you know, what we're thinking, we're seeing, we're feeling, we're observing, and actually noting all that stuff down. I personally feel there's huge value in these types of videos for people just watch and listen and learn. And even if they don't get to follow, I really feel there's still some value to be had.
I really hope so, Simon. I enjoy watching those kind of sessions. I know we've spoken about it on This Week in Testing before, that we've enjoyed Lee Marshall when he did some live testing sessions.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know there's been a few other people who have done similar things over the years, but I think there's a huge amount of capacity for lots more of it. I think I'd love to see more people getting involved in doing this. And I do think there's legs in a test exploration live to complement the test automation live that I think is going to be on the books eventually. It's one step at a time, but I think that's definitely a complementary series along the same lines, but with the exploration angle. Simon, let's see if we can get some more people on stage. I just wanted to shout out to people. If anyone is joining for the first time or hasn't used LinkedIn Live in order to come up on stage, there's a button called raise, to raise your hand, which is actually how you request to come on stage. And if you haven't tried to get involved before, it might not be as obvious as all that. So if you're sat there wondering how do you come up and request to get on the stage, it's that raising hands button is how you do it.
Absolutely. And please do, folks, please do join us. Perhaps you've got some questions for Ben. You know, maybe you want to jump into the detail of Nest.js, or perhaps you want to talk a little bit more about how you isolated the services, controllers, and modules. Or you've got something else to share. We can totally switch up the topic. And Ben, you're of course more than welcome to stick around on stage for whilst other folks jump on in and get involved in the conversation. But yeah, if there's something that's been on your week, you know, maybe we could do a rapid fire. Hey, let's celebrate something awesome you've done. You know, this is hopefully, you realize, a safe space to share, a safe space to big up what you've been up to celebrate yourself. Go for it, right? You know, there's some things you've done this week that you probably think, oh yeah, I'm proud of that. I've done something cool. Even if it's the smallest win on the planet, please bring it up on stage. And share with us. We want to celebrate what you're up to, all the good stuff. And yeah, and Ben and I would acknowledge, because we end up on this stage a lot, and it can still feel overwhelming to put your hand up and to come up on stage and speak. Yeah, I would love to encourage you to do so, and hopefully you feel this is a safe place to do that. So Tuba, Mania, let's bring Tuba up on stage. Thank you so much for putting your hand up. Tuba, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, so the testing week for me has been a roller coaster of emotions. I was laid off from my company recently. And so there are good stuff as well. I am improving my automation skills, working on the lead code challenges, also working on the automation side like Cypress and Selenium. And yeah, also I was certified as a foundation level tester this week. So I'm working on myself. I would like to know the newest trends in the automation industry so I can work on it.
Oh, Tuba, thank you so much for sharing. And indeed, what you described, oh, it does sound like a roller coaster. I'm so sorry to hear that you were laid off. On the other side, congratulations on receiving your certification. You know, if you feel that's given you something and given you some more confidence, and that's wonderful, wonderful news, and that you're looking to kind of improve your automation skills. I mean, I guess, it's a big old topic. Yeah, I think the fact that you're up on stage here today is a brilliant way to connect with folks. And there is a community that will support you. If you're willing to be open and share, ask questions in various different ways, whether it's on the club, which is our forum, so club.miniaturetesting.com, whether you're, you know, able to put yourself out there on LinkedIn and share your journey and share some of your learnings to encourage conversations with other people and to get their take on things. So yeah, I would just to reiterate, I'm hopeful that Ministry of Testing as a community and beyond is able to support you and help you find your next opportunity. There's definitely a lot of people out there who are up for sharing and supporting folks like yourself, Tuba. So yeah, please do stick with it. As far as a specific question about automation, Ben, what are your thoughts on that? Because I've shared a few kind of community-based ideas, but what would you feel would be good? And maybe we might have to ask Tuba a few more questions to get some context.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for sharing the week and the journey that you're on, Tuba, and getting up on stage. I guess my question is, could you tell me a little bit more about where you're at now in your automation journey and a little bit about where you're interested in going next? And then I might be able to give some more direction where would be a good place to focus.
Yeah, all right. So basically, I am currently on the web automation side using the Selenium and Cypress, but I would like to become a complete SDAT and would like to know what kind of things I need to learn right now.
Gotcha. So like you've got some experience in one tool and you want to kind of broaden that out to focus on the more software developer in test kind of roles. Yeah. So first of all, partly depends on the market around the jobs where you're currently at, right? So like where you're applying for. And the reason I say that is, I know that the market in the UK, for example, is very different from the market in the US. And I know that I don't know much about the international markets of how you get these different jobs and titles beyond the United Kingdom where I'm at now. But what I can say is there tends to be at least two different distinct type of software development engineering test kind of test automator kind of roles. There are the ones which are more heavily focused on you must have strong testing skills and good experience specifically in test automation tools, right? So something more specific like, here's a whole load of experience I've got being a tester, and here's some evidence that I'm on a journey with test automation. But then there are other roles which actually aren't really focused at all on you being a strong tester, ironically enough. But we'll absolutely grill you at interview just purely straight up as a developer, right? So learning to pass developer interviews is quite a different experience than learning to pass tester interviews. So if you want to focus more on those kind of roles, then in addition to learning things about test automation, you've got to make sure you're strong at your fundamentals about whether that's object-oriented programming, solid principles, writing dry code, all these kind of buzzword things, because they ask you those kind of questions. And you have to have be strong enough at implementing arbitrary code for like implementing algorithms that you can pass coding interviews. Now, for me, those kind of straight developer jobs that aren't as focused on testing aren't where I focus on. So I'm not great at those things. So they're not the kind of roles I particularly go for. But I know in some markets, those are more what's available. And in other markets, it's more the test automator who has great experience with test automation frameworks, but probably wouldn't pass a developer interview. So I guess you need to figure out what's available in your market and which one you want to focus on. And that probably helps guide, do you focus more on becoming a better developer or more on just using the tools to make yourself a better tester? I hope that helps.
Thank you, Ben, Simon. This really helps. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Tuba. Really, and thank you for stepping up on stage. That's wonderful. I think something I will shout out the automation certifications that we do have available at Ministry of Testing. They're definitely worth checking out. So ministryoftesting.com/certifications. So the foundation, it looks at like, you know, what is test automation, evaluating tools, creating a minimum viable automation feedback loop, how you investigate failed checks, develop or adopt testing tools, maintaining those test tools, and then going up to intermediate, it's about creating automated checks, maintaining them, reporting, maintaining a framework, managing execution of automated checks. And then the advanced level is more the strategic side of test automation. So that might also be worth investigating as well too. But and to the rest of the audience, if you are interested in getting certified, these courses have been built with the community and led by the community. So definitely worth checking out. But thank you, Tuba. I really appreciate you jumping up today. And yeah, do stick around. We do have a couple more hands have popped up. So I think Isren, thank you so much, Isren, for waiting so patiently. I'm going to get Isren up on stage. And Al Goodall, I do see a hand, but I'm just going to bring Isren up first, and then Al will get you up as well afterwards. Isren, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hello. Can hear you loud and clear. How has your week in testing been?
Well, good afternoon from Nigeria. I have over 5 years of experience as a QA tester. I saw this notice on LinkedIn. And that was like 2 weeks ago, and I joined. I love what I heard that last week or 2 weeks ago. And I dropped a note for you, Simon. My experience as a QA tester over the years has been slow growth. Why? Because I did not have a forum like this, you know, to increase my knowledge and skills. One challenge I also have is, you know, job applications. I want to match up with international standard. Here in Nigeria, majority are manual testers. Few are automation testers. So I dive into automation late last year, and that was Cypress. I tried Selenium, that was like hectic. I had to step down to Cypress, and I fall in love with Cypress. I've been doing some training via Udemy and other courses on YouTube to learn things like performance testing, K6, EPM, and the rest. But one, this major challenge is that, you know, when I apply for international jobs such as UK, such as US, Canada, they are kind of selective, most especially the US. You keep seeing things like it's US based. And when you apply, you say, sorry, you are not qualified on this. How can we bridge this gap? That's just my take. And if there is, how can I get secure a job internationally That is all that I need to know. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Israel. And my apologies if I've received a message and I haven't replied to you yet. That's my bad. I will definitely follow up on that. So I'm sorry for that. But really appreciate you sharing today. And yeah, I'm sorry to hear that there's some challenges you're facing finding your next opportunity. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know enough about the rules when it comes to employment, say based in the UK and the US. If someone doesn't have a work permit to work based in those countries. So I'm sorry I'm not qualified to talk about or explore that. But I guess what I can do off this call, I could perhaps connect you with some good recruiters that I know in the community who may be better qualified to share information and how it works with visas and how they view the international jobs market for folks across the globe, and see how they place folks across the globe to hopefully help you with that one, Isvren. But yeah, it does, and I think you're not alone in this as well. There's a lot of folks out there who feel like they can't find their opportunity. The opportunity isn't there for them locally where they want to take their career, and it's based elsewhere. And it is hard, it is challenging, and we definitely see that as a community. So I think, you know, your step of jumping up on the stage here today is wonderful. Like, folks will now know you. They're like, oh, right, I can remember his friend now. This person is looking for this opportunity. They like to find a way to find those opportunities. And you're, you know, you'll be in that person's mind now for all our audience, and likewise for myself and for Ben and for Tuba, to see how we might be able to help you. So hopefully, you know, this is a start of something and we can support you in your career. And I think also, yeah, thanks so much for your feedback earlier on. It's so glad to hear that you enjoyed this week in testing. Yeah, it's a real privilege to get to host these, and also, you know, get to co-host with some folks or other folks in the community can host as well. It is a lovely way to connect with this global community of testing QA and quality engineering professionals. If anyone else on stage, Tuba or Ben, you have any thoughts that you'd like to share with Isren, then yeah, feel free to unmute and jump on in. Okie dokes, we'll leave it there. Isren, I hope that helps. Do you have any more questions, or would you be okay with us bringing up Al Goodall, who's been waiting patiently in the audience to join us? Ah, thumbs up from Israel. Cool. Oh, and unmuted. I'll be quiet. Go for it. Oh, okay. Let's move on. Okay. So, Al, let's bring Al Goodall up on stage. Hello, Al. How's your week in testing?
It's been, I'd say, eventful. Let's go with eventful. Okay. Eventful, yeah. So, as a part of a project that I am working on, I've had to have been doing some things that I, shall we say, haven't ever really had to do. And you might think to yourself, "Well, hang on a minute, Al, you've been in the game 20 years doing testing, you must have touched upon some of this before." True, and you would be quite right to talk about that. So the first thing has been, of course, is finalising a test approach, and for an entire programme of work. And so some of you may think to yourself, "Oh, test approach, that's kind of like a plan, isn't it?" Kinda. It's basically helps people who are not into testing at all, so maybe program managers, business owners, other stakeholders, understand who will be doing what at what level. So what testing will be done by the developers? What testing will be done by the testers? what testing can we expect if we do, in the case that I'm in, doing UAT, what testing can we expect from the rest of the business, if that's the context that we're working in? And it really is a case of being spelling that out and making sure that it's nice and clear for the audience as to what it is that's going to happen, at what level, and how the mechanics of that will operate. So when we find defects, what do we do? When we find that, when we are doing this, what does that mean? So that's been the first thing. The second thing has been actually going out. And again, for those of you who have been following, I'm now into my almost at the end of my third month at my new place of work. And I have been engaging with various parts of the business on collecting what UAT tests they want to do. And that's been really interesting for two good reasons. Number one, I get like basically instant domain knowledge from the rest of the business, in that these are banking experts who live, breathe customer ops, finance, fin crime, whatever you want to call it. So I get instant access to domain expertise. So that's the number one. The other one, which is actually just important, is of course professional networking within your new place of work. Especially given, you know, any kind of size of organization, it's important, of course, that you establish testing as a force for good and show how, you know, hearing their concerns and factoring that back into what testing we might want to do, of course, is a really important thing. So those have been my two biggies, Simon. Yeah.
Loving it, Al. And I can imagine, because we've met a number of times and we know each other through the community, that for someone meeting you for the first time and with your natural passion for testing and quality, I can imagine the reassurance every person that you've met has gone, oh, this person is great. Like, not only because you're just a good person and a lovely person, but also they're just like, oh my goodness, this person really knows this stuff. They really care. They're asking me these really interesting questions, like that no one's perhaps ever asked me before. Like, why are they asking me that? And then you're explaining why you're asking those questions. So I can imagine there's this whole kind of extra layer of confidence that these folks now have. And the fact you can now connect with them and value their subject matter expertise is only going to improve things when it comes to your user acceptance testing.
Absolutely.
So very cool.
Absolutely. Breath of fresh air was what somebody, I obviously can't mention names, but the feedback has generally been really good. An interesting sort of aside to that is that it really is just about being that person who reaches out and engages.
Because I can imagine, and I've had this before, jumping into a company for the first time where the perception of the testing function or people that do testing or look after QA or our quality engineers is that, it's them again. And they let so many bugs go live last time. What's this next lot going to do? And that's just the reality sometimes. Right. And it's a real kind of upwards conversation where it's just resetting it. So the fact you said you're framing as testing as a force for good, as opposed to like the thing that blocks things or stops good stuff from happening, is really powerful. And I imagine, you know, respecting people's backgrounds, their context, their previous experience with other testing professionals, and understanding their perception of what testing is, can also go a long way to kind of bring them into a place where you as the expert can highlight stuff that perhaps, you know, flip some assumed perceptions as to what they think testing can do and what it can offer.
Absolutely.
Ah, congrats, Al. That sounds epic. And during your journey, kind of doing the rounds or the tour. It sounds like you went on tour, which is really cool.
God, it was a bit, yeah.
I love it, with your guitar and stuff. But yeah, like just going on tour, was there anything where you were like, did you start to develop a core set of questions? Because my mind instantly goes to like, what sort of questions would you ask people that you meet for the first time, or you're trying to understand the domain, you're trying to give them confidence by asking the right questions. I would love to see like a crib sheet or something like that appearing, because I think other folks in the community would also like to get their hands on that. And it just uses like a conversation starter.
It absolutely is. And I will take an action away from this and try and pull together the kinds of questions and kinds of conversations that I've had. One of the key elements, I think, has been around how the new solution works with what I call their business processes. So if you're in a, so that's kind of been like a key question that I start off with to get them thinking about, what do we do day to day? Those are our key business processes. How do we want to make sure that the thing that we're doing, the thing that is being created, works with those? Because otherwise you're immediately into like change management and this and that and the other, and there you have to respect that they may have concerns, they may be undergoing conversations at different levels about any changes that they would have to make. So there's all sorts of levels that these questions are kind of touching upon without a possibly realizing it. So that is it's an interesting consideration that when you go in and go, so what do you want a UAT then? It's kind of like they might not have the first idea about what that really means. Yeah. So context and framing it for them, them being whoever it is you happen to be engaging with. But if you start talking about so what your day-to-day process is, that's usually a pretty good lever in regards to the information that they can impart.
I love it, Al. What I like about that approach is the sensitivity to someone's current context and respecting everything that's come before. Like, you know, the teams are doing processes and have established systems in place because they have. And wherever a team is at is where they're at, right? So kind of understanding where they're at that point before kind of jumping in with like, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. It's just like fully overwhelming.
Especially when they may be coming from a position of they might not have always had the opportunity to, shall we say, try stuff out before it's kind of like told, hey, by the way, you're using this. So the idea that company A, that this may be a department that doesn't often get engaged with, well, now you are, they may be a bit, well, surprised, taken aback, whatever, by it. And I think that's, yeah, it's bringing, you are bringing the business together by doing this. You're joining a deliverable up with people, with actors, and agents who are going to be using this, you know, for real, and that matters.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those pieces where some folks might refer to it like as glue work. I know that's a bit of a hot topic at the moment, but the value add that a testing QA or quality engineering professional can bring to the conversation, where they're bringing different siloed departments or siloed groups of folks together and joining it all up, is really powerful stuff. And I don't think we should ever underestimate that skill that we do as professionals.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. One interesting thing, one of the reasons thing that I put my hand up was the conversation that Ben was leading about the whole test automation side of life. Now, interestingly, and I can speak from my experience from, and I haven't completed it yet, and I promised myself I will do, from the foundation, looking at the foundation course, is the modules specifically around, and I don't want to do too many spoilers here because buy it, try it, you'll see what I mean. But tool selection doesn't necessarily require you to be technical. Things like mocking tools for data has a use beyond test automation. Has a use actually in throughout all testing. You could be creating mocking stuff because, I don't know, you just want to play around with firing some stuff at Postman, or you want to be, you know, trying to like destroy an endpoint using K6 and you want a large amount of data. You know, the idea that you go out and look at a data mocking tool, it's when people say test automation, normally they're thinking here's a framework, here's scripts. It's beyond that. Test automation is the use, at least, and I may be paraphrasing from other more other people that have said this before, it's use of any tool that makes testing easier, better, faster. It doesn't have to be a framework. It could be a Chrome plugin.
I love that, Al. That's absolutely brilliant and a wonderful reminder. And talking of reminders, I'm just doing a quick time check here, Al. I do notice that Lee Rathbone has been waiting patiently to join us up on stage. So what I might do, I'm going to get Lee up here. We do have a few more minutes with you, Lee, and I know you've always got some wonderful things to share. So I'm going to get Lee up on stage and we'll go from there. Al, I'm just going to pop you on mute and then I'll get Lee back on. Thank you.
Cheers.
Lee, welcome to This Week in Testing. Thank you for waiting patiently. It's lovely to see you up on stage.
Yeah, it won't be a long one, Simon, but I just wanted to go back a couple of minutes from what Alistair was saying around, you know, creating those killer questions. It's something I started doing, and I think Alistair said he was going to go away and create them and share them. Something I actually started doing around about 2015 when I was at the Very Group. I started creating a killer questions sort of spreadsheet. And I realized that grew as each feature or each project or each program went live, you'd retrospectively think, well, what are the lessons learned? What could I have asked along the journey, either at the beginning and inception or along the journey of the program or feature or project going live? And then I ended up with this huge long list of killer questions. And I joined a different company. I thought, oh, this would be great. I'll just lift and shift these killer questions and use them again, rinse and repeat. And it didn't work, because each company is very unique and different in culture, in tech stack and people. So what I've ended up doing is, yes, I've used the concept of creating killer questions. I have referenced the past questions that I've created from other companies, but I've realized I had to start creating new ones depending on the new company that I joined. And it's something I'm doing here as well at the company that I'm at now. And it's something I'm encouraging my seniors and mid-level QEs to do as well, is create that list of killer questions. And I almost grouped them into different topics as well, so it makes it easier to pull out the right question at the right time. There's that many questions on the one from the Very Group that I created that you can't possibly ask all those questions in an inception. It's about finding the right time and asking the right person that killer question. So I do back up what Alistair was saying there about creating those killer questions, but it'll be organic and it will change and it will grow. And just because it worked in one company, it might not be the right killer question to ask when you move on and go into a different company. I found that out myself.
Wow, Lee.
Oh, I go for it, Ben. So much. I just want to say, Lee, Al, you definitely need to come up with a killer question heuristic because we need that in our life.
100%. How to come up with great questions. And a framework for that would be very, very powerful indeed. And yeah, for folks who want to hear more from Lee, Lee has got so many good things to share, but Lee is one of our hosts at Test Bash in September this year in Brighton in the UK. So if you can get yourself to Brighton in September, Lee is one of our wonderful hosts. Very much looking forward to catching up in person there, Lee. Be very cool indeed. So folks, it is that time for us to wrap up today. Oh my goodness me, I am so grateful for everyone that has joined the stage today. It's been wonderful to hear from Ben, from Tuba, from Isren and Al and Lee. Thank you so much for being part of This Week in Testing. And thank you so much for sharing as well. It's been some real good open honesty, which has inspired, you know, I'm going to place a heavy bet that a number of people in this audience have been inspired today, able to reflect on their current journey and also perhaps thinking like, oh, how could I help out that person or who could I help out today? And what could I offer to the community that might spark something in someone else in this community? There's many, many opportunities to contribute. So I do encourage you to get involved and to support each other. This is the only way that we can improve our craft. This is the only way that we can help move things forward as testing professionals. So yeah, keep the conversation going. Let's take action off the back of everything that we do and make some good things happen. So thank you so much for listening today. Very, very grateful. And also to those who join the stage, please do enjoy the rest of your day wherever you may be and have a lovely weekend. Bye for now.